Welcome to another broadcast of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. We are currently looking at Satan and demonology, what the scriptures say about Satan and his demonic forces under his command, led in array against God and his people. This series, of course, is part of a broader teaching series called The Great Doctrines of the Bible. I believe it was Lao Tzu who said in The Art of War, "Know thy enemy." And we, too, must know the enemy in the reality of spiritual warfare. We need to know who God's enemy is and who our enemy is. If we are the people of God, if we are the chosen of God, if we are the redeemed of the Lord, then his enemies is our enemies. And that points principally to Satan and his demonic forces. We have looked at their nature, their work, their activity in opposing God and his plan and purpose for mankind and for history. We looked at the primary medium through which Satan and his demonic forces manifest supernatural power, i.e., or that is, the occult. We have given you many examples of the occult as they have been practiced in the past and how they have been modernized in this day. Nothing's changed, though. The source for the occult is the satanic. It comes from Satan and is demonic. It comes from his demons. Now, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to be discerning, because the spirit of the occult is indeed in the church, often mimicking itself after the gifts and power of the Holy Spirit. So therefore, Christians, Bible-believing, born-again Christians, must be extra discerning when someone in the church comes along and claims they are operating by the Spirit of God, that God has told them this or that, and that they are performing by the power of God. We need to not take those claims lightly or take them on face value. Indeed, we are to be discerning. And as I've said many times before, we are to be Berean Christians in this respect. We need to search the scriptures whether these things are so. And so it is here that I want to show you from God's Word how we are to test spirits to see that are operating in people, to see whether or not they are operating by the Spirit of God or by the spirit of the devil and his demonic forces. How do you know the difference between the two? How do you know this? Well, let me just say that the Bible warns over and over against the people of God getting involved with the occult. When a person fails to heed this warning, fails to respond to the Holy Spirit's conviction of sin and call for repentance and belief in the gospel, that person will gravitate toward evil spirits by which he contacts the god of this world, Satan. He may think that he can find the answer by going to a fortune teller. He may think he can find the answer by consulting tarot cards or calling the psychic hotline. He may think that he can find the power of the universe through an inward turn to self using meditation, yoga, TM, and so forth. All of this is bringing that person, directing him toward the occult, which is forbidden and condemned by the Word of God. And those who practice the occult, whether they know it or not, fall under God's judgment. Leviticus 19:31, Leviticus 20, verse 6, and Deuteronomy 18:10. You have to remember that the power of the occult, the practices of the occult, are satanic counterfeits of the operations and manifestations of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. So keep in mind that as God's Spirit moves in the church and in the world, Satan is right there to counterfeit such power and lead men astray. And he does this through his evil spirits, demons. The purpose of Satan's counterfeit is deception, bondage, and damnation. Remember, when God does perform a miracle, it is an aid to believe in God. When Jesus performed his miracles, it was not so much to draw attention to himself, but to the fact that he is God Almighty in the flesh and has come as the Lord's sent Messiah. And those miracles call on us. Those miracles that he performed call on us to believe in him. Any miracle that God does is designed to cause people to come to him and believe. On the other side of the coin, though, occult miracles performed by Satan are designed for people to be deceived. A classic example is the supernatural war going on between God through Moses and Satan through Pharaoh's magicians. They were able, up to a certain point, to mimic and counterfeit the some of the 10 plagues that God was placing on Egypt, until finally they could not counterfeit anymore, and it became obvious that the power of God was far superior than the power of Satan. Time and time again, the New Testament writers tell believers not to be deceived. Jesus said, "Be not deceived," in Matthew 24. Paul exhorted the Corinthians to not be deceived, and so forth. In fact, he said, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." And that's applicable here. Christians should not be communicating or having anything to do with the occult, because in the end, that will corrupt their lives. Now, the responsibility then falls on us to test any supernatural manifestation claiming to come from God, performed by someone claiming further to be a spokesman for God, whether it's a messenger or he's claiming to be a prophet. The scripture is very clear that we are not to believe every spirit that has gone out into the world, but rather we are commanded to test the spirit. I believe that's an imperative, if I'm not mistaken, there in 1 John 4:1-2. 1 John 4:1 says to test the Spirit. It's an indicative tense, and according to my notes, not necessarily an imperative. Nonetheless, that doesn't take away from the fact that we need to test the Spirit. The word is in the perfect tense, the word test, expressing the continuance of this act of testing to see if a spirit is from God or not. And there's no middle ground here. If a spirit is not from God, then it's true of its opposite. It is of Satan, then. Test the spirits, whether they be of God. John says, 1 John 4:1-2, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God." Here is the line of demarcation, the doctrinal and existential line of demarcation between a spirit of God and another spirit, a demonic spirit. It is this, John says, "Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God." This means that a person will confess that Jesus has come as the divine Messiah and resided in a human body, God incarnate in human flesh, in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. That's the single most important doctrinal and existential test. A person will affirm the incarnation. Verse 3, The opposite of the Spirit of God is the spirit of Satan, who denies the incarnation in one form or another. Verse 3 of John, 1 John 4. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. Well, what is it? It is of the Antichrist. It is of the Antichrist. So someone claiming to come from God, yet at the same time denies the incarnation, that is, Jesus is God incarnate in the flesh, is of the spirit of Antichrist. The spirits, then, must be tested by this biblical truth of which John tells us about the incarnation in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jump down to verse 14 of John 1. It tells us who this Word was. It was Jesus, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God and Jesus is God in the flesh. Anyone who denies that is speaking by the spirit of Antichrist. So that is the ultimate credo, the ultimate truth, the ultimate doctrine that you are to test somebody when they come to you and say, listen, God is speaking to me. You must get them to affirm that Jesus is God in the flesh. And if they're not willing to do that, my friend, then they are of the spirit of Antichrist. They are of the spirit of Antichrist. And many, many of these spirits are in the world. Now, what are some other fail-proof methods for testing spirits to determine whether it's of God or of Satan? If it's more than one spirit, it's automatically Satan, because God is one. God's spirit is one. It's not made up of a spirit of this, a spirit of that. It is one spirit with different attributes. I'll never forget, I was counseling with someone in my congregation, and admittedly they have some mental problems, and yet they claim that voices, this person claimed, I shouldn't say they, but this person claimed voices were speaking to her. And she was a female, and she said that the only way she could get those voices to stop was by speaking to a washing machine. I kid you not. Well, is that biblical? Of course not. Because we are not to look to any object as a source for God's Word outside of the Bible and Jesus Christ. So the fact that she's looking to a washing machine to tell her what God says is ludicrous, and it is a work of spirits, demonic spirits. She needs to be focused on what God is saying to her through Jesus and the Word. So that was a simple test showing me that what was occurring in her life was not of God. It is demonic. So we do not have to be deceived. We have 1 John 4:1. 1 John 4:1 is the principle by which we are practicing principle, by which we are to test spirits. We are to have a healthy skepticism, folks, regarding any teaching coming from anyone claiming they are speaking for God by God's Spirit. There can be a danger to being open-minded just to anything in the church. And unfortunately, while there are merits to the charismatic movement, this is where they fall short and are weak. They open themselves up to any practice or doctrine as being of the Spirit, when in fact it contradicts the Bible and it's not from God. For example, the laughing revival, where people laugh uncontrollably and show other manifestations, barking like dogs, roaring like lions. This is not of God. This is a spirit that is not one of self-control, and one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. So we know that that's not of God, nor is that a normative part of worship given in the New Testament for the church. So it's not of God. It is a distraction of Satan to get people to follow the emotional, mystical highs of these bizarre experiences, taking them away from the objective truth of God. So we are to have a healthy skepticism. We must test people to see if, first of all, if they affirm the incarnation, Jesus, which means Jesus is God incarnate in human flesh. And secondly, we are to test demonic spirits or any spirit by the Word of God. First and foremost, Isaiah 8:19-20. You've heard me quote it here time and time again, which states, to the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Now, when Isaiah wrote this, it primarily was the Torah, some of the prophets, the Psalms, and the writings. Now that the biblical canon is complete, consisting of 66 books of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, we are to test spirits working through people by the Word of God. Again, I go back to the washing machine illustration. This person was telling me that they find comfort and relief by talking to a washing machine. There's a word for this, and I can't remember the it's a psychological term where a person becomes in love with an inanimate object. The term, I believe, it's called objectophilia. That is when a person is in love with an inanimate object, objectophilia. And that is not of God, because that really is an offshoot of idolatry. When you look to an inanimate object for guidance, direction, and you put your love in that object, that is idolatry, and that is not the Spirit of God moving. It is a demonic spirit. So we must test all things by the Word of God. And when a person claims to speak by the Spirit of God, another criterion to use is, did that prophecy, was it fulfilled? Deuteronomy 18:21-22 states that someone claiming to be a prophet of God, when he speaks, if that thing does not come to pass, then they are in effect a false prophet. And if it should come to pass, yet lead someone in the opposite direction of the God of Israel, they are not of God. So you do have some psychics who will speak things and they come to pass. Not 100% of the time, but they do not direct someone to the God of the Bible. You know also that that is not of God. It's interesting here in Deuteronomy 18 that when God does give the litmus test for differentiating between a false prophet claiming to come in the name of God versus a true prophet of God, we have the prophecy of the preeminent prophet to come. That would be the Messiah, verses 15 through 19. Moses said, a prophet like me will come from among you, the brethren, and so forth. And then in verses 20 through 22, we have the litmus test for determining a false prophet versus a true prophet. And a prophet of God will speak, and his words will be fulfilled, not 99.9% of the time, but 100% of the time. Very simple test. Is the prophecy spoken? Was it fulfilled to the letter? If not, the person is obviously a false prophet. The spirit, testing the spirits can also involve examining the fruit they produce. Matthew 7:19-23. If someone claims to be a prophet of God, yet he's living an immoral lifestyle, then he is not from God. If he is espousing immorality and his life is lawless, and filled with deception and immorality, he is not a true prophet of God. For a spokesman of God will exhibit purity and moral uprightness. Lastly, that's the fourth way we can test the spirits. And lastly, number five, the spirits can be discerned or tested by the gift of the Holy Spirit. One of the nine gifts listed in 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10 is the discerning of spirits. Pray for this gift so that you can discern what spirit a person is coming in, what spirit a person is teaching in, and what spirit a person is claiming to do miracles by. These are all important. We have to have the Holy Spirit's discerning work. We have to have the Holy Spirit's discerning work. So to review, we test the spirits by whether or not they affirm and confess Jesus as God coming in the flesh, both by His incarnation and in His body, God in the flesh. Two, we test the Spirit by the Word of God, Isaiah 8:19-20. Three, we test the Spirit by whether that prophecy has been fulfilled. Four, we test the Spirit by what kind of lifestyle the alleged spokesman for God is living. And lastly, number five, we test the Spirit with the gift of the discerning of spirits, one of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. God does not take lightly people misusing His name and blaspheming by claiming they are speaking as His representative when in fact they speak against God's Word, when they deny the Incarnation, they embrace a ungodly lifestyle, their prophecies go unfulfilled, and these are clear indications to any discerning, open-eyed, spiritual, born-again individual that the person exhibiting these things is not of God. From God's perspective, contact with the spirit world is equivalent to offering strange fire. Nadab and Abihu did this. In Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1, they sought to worship God and approach God their own way and not God's way. And what was God's way? The same way it has always been, by way of His appointed and ordained blood-shedding sacrifice. Under the Old Covenant, it was the sheep, the goats, and so forth, sacrificed by the ordained Kohanim, the priesthood that God raised up in Israel. Under the New Covenant, it is we come to God only by one, through His Son, Yeshua, and the atoning sacrifice He made for us on the tree of Calvary. Nothing else. And so anybody who seeks to approach God, even mixing grace with works, is offering strange fire. It is by God's grace alone, provided through the Lord Jesus Christ, that we come before God. Any other way is to do, in effect, what Nadab and Abihu did, burning strange incense on the altar. The danger for involving yourself in the occult is that you open yourself up to the possibility of demonic possession and surely demonic oppression. You give the devil at this point legal access to come into your life and take control. And if further involvement in the occult is practiced, then you are liable to be possessed by demons. So what about those who have been involved in the occult? Well, the call for all sinners to repent surely applies to these in the occult. They need to repent and admit their sin of witchcraft in the occult and be cleansed by the blood of Jesus and verbally renounce occult involvement. The person who does this must then learn to depend upon the Word and Spirit of God. The underlying message of the occult is, I am in control. I have and wield power. The underlying message of the Judeo-Christian faith is surrender to the God of the Bible, who has all power in heaven and on earth. It is a call to self-denial in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the biblical way. The occult way is the elevation and acquisition of power for self. It is demonic through and through. And it mirrors the devil himself, Satan, Lucifer, who thought he, in his rebellion, could usurp the authority of God, replace him, and become God himself. That is the essence of Satanism, my friend. Unless a person repents of his terrible sin of involvement in the occult and submits to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, finding complete deliverance from Satan and his demonic forces, their ultimate end will be damnation, where they will be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity with the devil and the evil spirits that have served him in this life. Matthew 25:4, Revelation 21:8, 22, and 15. In fact, the passages in Revelation I just cited explicitly call out people who are involved in the occult, witchcraft, drug taking, sorcery, and so forth. If they do not repent of this, of these evil occult sins, they will be damned to the eternal, damned eternally, and consigned to the lake of fire with their master, Satan. So, we then see that there is much going on today in our world that is, or smacks of the occult, from minor to major things. We've looked at some of those occult practices. Next time we are with you, we are going to show you how Satan has defeated Satan and his demons. Satan and his demons. Christ's victory, Jesus' victory over Satan and the demonic forces under his command has already occurred, is occurring, and will fully be implemented when he returns. We won't get into that now, but next time we will talk about Messiah Jesus' victory over the devil, his personal victory over the devil, his universal victory over the devil for man, and the future defeat of the devil by the victorious Savior. We're going to look at those things next time. It's important, though, as we close this teaching, it's important that you and I be discerning Christians. Discerning Christians. There is much deception and occult activity going on in the church right now, passing itself off as a legitimate and genuine move of God when it is certainly not. And we need to be grounded in the Word of God to test the spirits to see if they indeed are of God or, in fact, coming from the devil. That means you have to have a healthy dose of skepticism, and you have to be able to engage in critical thinking. Otherwise, anything goes. And we certainly must be on guard, especially when the Lord Jesus warned in the Olivet Discourse of Matthew 24 that deception and lawlessness will abound all over the world right before his return, both in the church and in the world, I should say. And I don't need to tell you the many examples of such things going on now. But be armed with the Word and filled with the Spirit, and implement these five ways of testing the spirit world so that you will not be deceived by Satan, and you might help others who are currently deceived come out of that deception and walk in the truth of God's Word. Well, until next time, Shalom, Yeshua HaMashiach Alechem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.